type activity. We're going to pass out and just honor you guys with, we got some candy we're going to pass out, and then some roses that we're not going to pass out right now, but after service, when you're leaving, go ahead and grab one or two, depending on how many are left, and we'll proceed. So I just want to honor our mothers.
You should take those. They're not safe up here. I thought, wow, they left them right there on the podium. One of them says 70% cocoa. That's coffee in a round ball right there. Okay. Well, by way of announcements, we are going to have a meal today. For those of you who do not have other plans, no problem if you do, but there's a meal today, and Bob is going to run out in a little bit and pick it up, chicken and other stuff. So welcome to join, or if you have other plans, not a problem there either. Let's see. Don't come here on June the 5th, because June the 5th will be camping. And guest speaker George will be speaking, and looking forward to that. Don't come here on June 12th either, because we'll be across the street. So we're going to move on the May 29th. We'll be across the street after we get back from camping, and looking forward to that. Exciting things coming. I don't have any other announcements. So, I'll start by people who had a birthday this week. Stan brought cookies for birthday people, too. But did anybody have a birthday this week? Okay. Any anniversaries? The Lingafilters had an anniversary. All right. When? Last Sunday. Okay, and what number was it? 35. Congratulations. Good for you guys. Okay, Stan, come on and, I don't know if he needs a microphone or not.
Okay, anybody that's had a birthday this last month, the whole month, if you've had a birthday, you get a birthday cookie. I bought some pretty good ones, I think. Now, if you guys don't come, I'll have to eat these. So, anybody had a birthday this month? You get a cookie. Maybe two. Anybody else? All right. Let me get the box open.
Means April. April.
All right. There you go. All right. You can have one. How about this little girl?
Are you going to take one?
Keith said he wanted.
You can have two if you want. Right,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, just grab two. What else? Take two, they're small. Anybody else? Gideon, all right, buddy. Atta boy. Anybody else? Is there anybody else that would just, not your birthday, but I'd just like to have one. I've got about three or four of them left here. Atta boy. Take two, they're small? Okay.
Hey, Dad wants one.
Anybody else? Just got to have one? Got that kind of energy to burn? All right. If not, I'll have them back here and you can get one later. All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's pray. And as we pray, before we start reading the word together, I just want to encourage you to remember to pray for our country, especially. Motherhood, family in general, is under attack as it never has been before. You know, as they were singing that song, how God comes in riding on the storm. in this middle of this storm of attack on the family, we have this maybe a shift in our whole country's legal structure regarding abortion. And could it be that in the middle of this storm, when we can have this breakthrough? I just want to encourage you, as you're in your prayer time, and we'll pray this morning too, just pray that God would do something amazing that we haven't seen in a generation here. And as well, that he would protect our whole justice system, our justices, and do his work in our country. So let's pray, and then we'll open the word together. Thank you, Father, for this day we can celebrate and honor motherhood and the mothers that are here. We pray that you would restore in us an appreciation, an understanding, a love for what motherhood is and what you have put into it as you designed us. Father, we pray that you would work in our country and that you would reestablish justice in our country. For the children who haven't been born, that you would be their advocate, that you would stand for them, and that you would bring justice for them. We just pray that you would protect the leaders in our country, the justices in our court, that you would keep them safe, and that you would keep you would make a difference, make a shift in our country. In Jesus' name, amen. Put this over here. Okay. Well, today I want to read from Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan. I know it's an unusual one. You don't think of Good Samaritan as a story you read on Mother's Day. But you know how God shows us his nature through fatherhood. He shows us his nature through motherhood and in many of the other things that he designed in the world. And today we're going to look at the wonders of God's nature that he shows through motherhood. And this parable, I think, is interesting because essentially it is a parable in which Jesus tells a lawyer that they should behave more like mothers than religious leaders if they want to represent God in the world well. And hopefully you'll see what I mean. I think it's really clear when you just think about what happens in this story. But it's a wonderful picture. Though Jesus never did say, be more like a mom. But he's saying the same. And let's read it together. And then I want to talk through how God reveals his heart to us through what we all know and understand as motherhood and mothers. Luke chapter 10, starting in 25, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, Jesus, saying, Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What's your reading of it? And so he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. And he, wanting to justify himself, that is, thinking that he may not love everyone as himself, not everyone, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, Then who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said with this parable, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. And which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he, the lawyer, said, He who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. I like this story on Mother's Day, because the way Jesus taught them to be a good neighbor is with an illustration that is so much the way that mothers act. We honor motherhood today because it reveals the nature of God in such a unique way. You know, if this young man who had been beaten were discovered by a mother bringing her young children along the road, I think we wouldn't have all been as surprised that she would have stopped to take care of him. Because we wouldn't have had in that story the mother saying, "Come on, children, let's go on the other side because we don't want to look at that man over there." And we wouldn't have had the little children saying, "But mommy, we should probably go take care of him." No, because moms have this instinct, this way of taking care of people, this way of being willing to go out of their way, set aside their own busyness, their own prejudice, which is part of this story, their own previous offenses maybe, and focus on someone who needs help. And Jesus told them this story, and in essence, I think you can sum up, well, the Mother's Day version of it. He told the lawyer, if you want to be if you want eternal life, if you want to live in this world as a Christian and represent the love of Christ well, you should act more like moms do than religious leaders do. So in the structure of this story, well, in the structure of my message today, I'm just going to go through six things which I think are revealed by mothers that are in the nature of the heart of God. So six ways in which mothers reveal to us the heart of God. You know, God's nature is revealed in fatherhood through men, and in motherhood through mothers, and through just the natural way that men act and through the natural way that women act. God reveals himself to us as a strong male figure, yes, but he also reveals himself to us in ways which are more like the women, and he's buried parts of his nature in each of us that, when you put it all together, reveals the whole what God is all about. And so today we're going to explore the heart of God by remembering the exceptional and the honorable things that make mothers unique and that they do in the course of their normal lives, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that change all of us. First, moms remind us that God never gives up on us. Moms remind us that God never gives up on us. He sees our good potential in spite of our failures. And moms are like that. You know, according to Prison Policy Institute, there are 62,000 people in jail in Arizona. Now, that's a lot of people. I didn't know it was quite that much. But there are 62,000 people in prison in Arizona. And I'll bet that every one of them who has a mother who is still alive as at least one person who believes there's good in them. And in spite of all that they did, there's one person who would say, you know, down in his heart, he was not a bad boy. And they say boy because another interesting statistic is that only 7% of these incarcerated people are women, which means either they're not committing the crime or they're really good at not getting caught. but for every one of these who has a mom still alive, you can, I think, bet there's at least one person that still believes that down in their heart there is something good in them. They may be the only one, but they have a way of having this tenacious belief in the good nature in their children. And, you know, it's not really just foolishness on mom's part, because they have the ability to look past what they are not and see the gems that are inside of them, which is what they are or what they could be. You know, the moms are the ones that will say, I know my three-year-old bit you, but he's just going through a bad time right now. He's really not mean. When children get into trouble, moms are so often the only ones that will come to their defense. When they're struggling in school, moms will say, but he's not dumb. And when they mess up at their piano recital or their music recital, they say, well, he really knew it. It just could have happened to anyone. When they strike out in baseball, I know that he can do it. And when they hit the home run, it's like, I knew they could do it. When the daughter is shy and clumsy, moms can look inside and see that beautiful young lady that's going to emerge one day and reach in there and help them develop it. As I was going through my old ones, I found this example from long ago. This one was kind of funny. So this was many years ago. But anyway, I couldn't help it. I found this example of this Valerie, believed in James, who I put his affectionate old name, which he can tell you, but I won't. Valerie believed in James so much that he could learn to eat with a fork long after I had given him up for lost. I figured he was meant to go live in some other country where they eat like that. So, and there he is. He eats with a fork like a normal person. You can see living proof that Mom was right. And you see, Jessica, Gabriel has come upon that tendency naturally. It kind of runs in the family. Yeah, I had totally forgotten that one. But isn't this nature like our Father, our Heavenly Father? When I try to act all big, like I know everything, and I'm going to do things my way, and then I get things all messed up, He doesn't give up on me and walk away from me and leave me. He keeps His hands right there underneath me to catch me when I fall. I'm glad He's like that. Bible says He's long-suffering in Numbers chapter 14. It said the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. I bet you didn't know Numbers was the book of long-suffering and mercy. But that one, that's from Numbers chapter 14. Like our mom when we wrote on the walls, God is abundant in mercy, forgiving even the most flagrant of our offenses. He keeps reaching out to us. He keeps calling us back. He keeps calling us back with His arms open like the father in the story of the prodigal son. He wants everyone to come back to Him. 2 Peter 3 says that He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The second thing, moms remind us that God is proud of us. Moms remind us God is proud of us, and He considers us to be a thing of great value. He thinks we're worth a lot. You know, like the Good Samaritan who saw the beaten man was worth going out of his way for. You saw that beaten man there who was worth changing plans for, paying money for. The same way as God sees us as people who are worth sacrificing for. Ever wonder why a mom makes sure that her children have a bath? The same reason that many men make sure that their truck gets washed. Because it's something that's valuable and is cherished and it's treasured and you take care of it. And you want it to keep it in as good a condition as possible because you never know when you might have a chance to show it off. Moms are proud of their kids. They want everyone to like them. So they clean them up. They want them to look their best. They dress them up the best they can so other people will enjoy being around them. So that they will see the beauty in their kids that Mom sees in them. So they fuss over them. They get them nice clothes, clean their teeth, they clean their bodies, even behind their ears. They teach them good manners. They help them to have nice hair and trim fingernails and get their exercise so they have strong muscles and bright eyes and pretty shoes for the girls and nice belts for the boys and, yeah, even ties sometimes for the boys. So that people will see what wonderful people these little ones are. God is like that for us. When you look at the plans that Jesus has for us in Ephesians chapter 5, He's cleaning us up to be glorious. Ephesians 5, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her that He might sacrifice and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So what's He cleaning her up for? That He might present her to Himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Isn't that kind of like a mom scrubbing behind the ears? He's not just holding His nose, hoping that we don't stink too bad. He's cleaning us up, removing the stains, removing the blemishes, washing us up, making us glorious, because He wants to show us off. He wants to show us our value. Like the Good Samaritan, He thinks we are worth it. And He won't leave us still needing help. Number three, moms remind us that God trusts us, even when we don't really deserve it. Moms remind us how God trusts us. Consider this little dialogue. Mommy, little one says, Mommy, I broke the cereal bowl. I'm sorry, I broke the cereal bowl. Mommy probably growls under her breath just a little. And then she says, Now, honey, you have to remember to pay attention when you're using the spoon. You're watching the TV and you're not watching what you're doing, and you knocked it on the ground, and that's why it broke. But a week later, when the little one says, Mommy, I can do it. I can. I will pay attention very hard. I'll be very careful. And you know what? Junior is eating from the glass bowl again. Moms trust us to do our best, even when our last time was probably not our best. They believe in second chances, and thirds, and fourths, and fifths, and 21sts. And it reminds us the nature of God toward us, because he's like that too. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on her. Don't give up on him. They have a way of believing in us even when we don't deserve it. And that in itself is a way of bringing out the best in us. Do you know that when someone believes that you can do what even you've given up on yourself being able to do, it makes you a better person. And I think moms understand this, and they do that for us. This is what God is like too. I remember this story in Luke chapter 9, this collection of stories. Jesus is teaching his disciples he's teaching them to act like ministering disciples, to act like Christians all at the same time. And in Luke chapter 9, there's a series of little short dialogues with Jesus. And in this chapter, the disciples demonstrate their real lack of understanding of what it means to be a ministering disciple of Christ. They get into an argument, for example, about who will become the greatest. A dispute, it says, arose among them as to which one would be the greatest. So, to remember what Jesus does, he finds a child, and he sits down there with him. And he says to them, the one that receives this child in my name is like receiving me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is the least among you will be great. So this answer was, the one that receives this child in my name receives me. That's his answer about which one of you is going to be the greatest. The word receives is interesting in this context. So I looked up, and I think it's vines that I referenced here. I didn't catch which one it was. I asked myself, what does received mean in this case? And received is a lot more than you might think. But when you think about it a minute, you realize, yeah, actually we do use receive this way. You just might not have thought of it right away. It means receive as in the sense of receiving someone into your own family and like that, in the way that you would receive someone as if you were mentoring them. And receiving them, accepting responsibility to educate them, to bring them up, to bear with them, to endure them. Do moms endure children? Moms endure children. In a sense, he was telling them, if you want to become great, you need to be one who will receive this child. In the same way that, say, a good mom or a good father would receive this child into their family. And I'm not sure what the disciples thought would qualify them to be great, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't that. And Jesus corrected the whole misunderstanding by saying, hey, you need to look at this differently. Consider the ones who are helpless, the ones who are weak, the ones who are like these children who need to understand it, to know about life. If you want to be one who is great, be like this, who will see that need, who will see that opportunity, if you will, and will be willing to turn aside your life and make it happen for them. So much like a mom. Jesus Then, there's another story. So I'm backing up just a little bit. Jesus is heading down to Jerusalem some while before this all happens. He has to go quite a number of miles to the south. It's going to take several days for this journey, and he needs a place to stay. So Jesus' party sends ahead some messengers into a Samaritan village, asking if someone could just prepare them a place to stay, so they could just hang out there and then move on the road. It turns out helping weary travelers who are heading to Jerusalem is not really the thing that folks in Samaritan cities like to do. It all has to do with their history, right? Jerusalem is kind of the place that was shoved in their face and says, Samaritans, that you need to be coming here to worship Christ, to worship God, and not where you do it up there. And the Samaritans thought you could worship anywhere. And anyways, there's a lot of history here. But suffice it to say, helping people on their travels down to Jerusalem is not something that they like to do. And so they said no. Well, James and John see this happen. And down the road, they say, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just like Elijah did? And Jesus turns around and has a stern talk with them that sounds a lot like a very similar to a mom's, we don't do that in this family talk. And he says to them something that is essentially, maybe you feel like this is appropriate behavior, but that is not what we're all about. Jesus said, I didn't come here to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Jesus teaches them in much in a way that you would imagine a mom teaching their children. But here's the next amazing thing to me. Those are the people, after Jesus patiently taught them, those are the people, same ones that he sent out to the surrounding villages to heal the sick, to preach the gospel, and to cast out demons. The same period of time. In spite of the fact that they are demonstrating their lack of understanding of even what it means to be ministers of the gospel, Jesus is trusting them to become more than what they are. And motherhood reminds us of the way that God trusts us. In Matthew chapter 16, in fact, Jesus says to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And to these 12 guys, and Peter here being mentioned specifically, Jesus was going to turn over his entire ministry at the end of his 3 years. And he was going to turn it over to them. Moms reveal to us this part of the heart of God, where in the way that they trust their children, even and especially when they don't deserve it, because she sees a potential and doesn't let their constant past failures determine their destiny. Moms, don't let constant past failures determine a child's destiny. This is the way God treats us. In spite of our constant past failures, he doesn't let that determine our destiny. He trusts us and will return to trust us again. Fourth, moms remind us that God is gentle. Moms are like this. Have you ever watched a mom taking care of a newborn baby? How they treat them? I don't think I have ever heard a nurse or a midwife say, now, mom, be careful, because they just are. I have heard them say that to dads, though, or the children, watch their head, the whole head. It's a picture of God's gentle heart for us in the way moms do this. And in the way moms carefully dress their little ones, how they bathe them, how they watch over them when they're sick and gently force them to take their medicine when they need it. I think we sometimes think when God has to give us medicine, it's going to look really harsh. But I think God so very often gives us medicine that we need in a way that a loving mom gives it to their little one. And he could be so much, so much harsher about it. But I just see over and over how he does this so much like a mom. We see that God is gentle in the gentle way that moms change the baby's diapers. Now, I won't park here for very long, but I think it's an interesting example that, yes, we actually see the heart of God and the way that moms clean up the stinky messes that their child make because they weren't mature enough to control themselves. God shows a gentle heart to us when we make the stinky messes because we weren't able to control ourselves, and he's not harsh. He doesn't leave us to clean up ourselves. He doesn't say, baby, change thyself. And sometimes we actually think, I did this. I made this mess. God is not going to clean it up for me. He's just going to say, fine, then you clean it up. Well, actually, he's not that way. And actually, when we turn back to him, he is very gentle and kind and helpful to us to help us clean up the messy mess that we made. And he's lovingly helps us the way that moms lovingly clean up their children's messes. Moving on quickly, moms also are gentle with their children's emotional weaknesses. They protect them. They make sure that they're not exposed to things that are too much for them, which is also like God. They carefully care for their spirits, because they want nothing more than for their children to grow up to know God. God is like that. Paul, in one of the letters in 1 Thessalonians, describes how he and those traveling with him were representing the love of Christ to those people that they were there with, and he says that we were gentle among you. Such just as a nursing mother cherishes her own, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Paul expressing the gentle love of Christ to these people that he was mentoring and teaching in Thessalonica. In Isaiah 51, it says, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all of her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Gently, he will clean up their messes, if you will, and bring them comfort. The fifth, moms remind us that God finds joy in us. Moms remind us that God finds joy in us. You know what a grandma or a great-grandma who thinks that she may be at the end of her life, what she probably would like to see more than anything else? She would probably like to see her kids and her grandkids and her great-grandkids one more time because they bring her so much joy. Moms can sit and watch their baby's first steps over and over and over, and they get very excited even when someone else's baby does their first steps. Moms love to hear their kids' speeches, to see their artwork. You see, I'm giving these examples because God is that way with us, I think. I think in moms we see a heart that this is the way God thinks of us. Moms love to hear speeches, to see their artwork, to hear their performances, to see their tests, to watch their graduations. This is like God's heart for us. Moms even laugh at your jokes, especially the ones the little ones make up themselves. God is like that with us. He delights in us. The Bible tells us the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delights in his way. We are, in fact, the goal that Jesus had in mind when he came to earth to sacrifice himself. He did it with the goal in mind that he would be able to spend eternity and time with us. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus didn't die just out of duty to the Father. He died because he wanted to spend eternity with us. And that brought him joy. Finally, number six, moms remind us that God never forgets us. Moms remind us God never forgets us. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Isaiah 49 says. You know, moms are like that. Once a mom has a child, it is forever part of her mind, part of her emotions, part of her life. It is another way that mom shows us the heart of God, because we are forever part of him, what he remembers. And it is impossible for him to forget us. Have you ever tried to take a mom of a young baby on a quiet getaway without the children? A quiet, even romantic getaway without the children is like trying to separate a mama bear from the cubs. You might actually get them away, but their heart is still back, right? Have you ever wondered why moms can't sleep when they know their babies need something? It's because that's wired in them as part of motherhood. They have no ability to forget about them and go to sleep anyway. Some fathers do, but they don't have, but moms just in general don't have the ability to actually forget them and go to sleep anyway. I bring this out to challenge you with this verse that I'm going to finish. It starts, "Can a mother forget her nursing child?" We see this all in motherhood. Now look at what this says about God and his heart towards us. Let me just give you the background of what's going on in this verse in Isaiah 49. It's a verse about a group of people who are praying for justice to be delivered, the children of Israel. They're praying for justice to be delivered, and they're not seeing any answer. And they're getting discouraged. They're starting to believe that the people around them who are coming into power, these people consider believing in the written word of God is unacceptable, because there's things that are written in that are just not acceptable. This is what these people were dealing with in Isaiah 49, because the people coming into power around them did not believe in the true God. They did not consider the Jews' beliefs to be acceptable. And the parents were worrying that they would not be able to raise their children to know God and to follow him, and they feared persecution from all these nations around that were rising up. Does it sound familiar to our day now? And so they complained, prayed. They grump prayed, which is like kind of like we do. And it says, Zion said, this is Isaiah 49:15. Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." And the answer is in verse 15, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they might forget, yet I will not forget you." Even earthly mothers, he says, I guess, could forget. But even though they forget, I will never forget. See, in verse 16, "I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls, that is the places where you live, your walls are continually before me." The way that a mother shows the heart of God is how that they never forget their children. God will never forget us. It's as if he never could. He has written reminders of us on his hands. He will always be watching the places where we live. It's hard to imagine that. Do you know, because we live in Gilbert, Arizona, God is watching Gilbert, Arizona. He said, "Your walls," we don't have walls today, we just have towns and cities. "Your walls are continually before me. I'm watching the places where you live because you're there, because God can never forget us, because he's even written on his palms of his hands reminders of us. The way a mom can never forget a nursing child, God will never forget us. That's his promise. That's his revelation of his heart. So moms show us the heart of God in these ways. They show us that God is proud of us, and he considers us to be worth a lot. They show us how God trusts us. They show us how God is gentle. They show us how God finds joy in us, and they show us how God will never forget us. Just to wrap up today, I wonder if we can just say a prayer over the moms that are here. If you are a mom I don't know, we can just find you, or could you, I don't know, if you can stand up if you want, or you can just sit there and we will find you. I want every mom that's here to have someone praying over them. What I wanted you to pray is that God will build them up, and that he will strengthen these precious people through which God shows us his heart. Because we want them to be more of what they are, because God shows himself through them. So I just want you to pray a blessing on them, that God would make this a wonderful day for them, that he would put his strength in them, and that he would build them up today. Did you do that? Just gather around. Mom, doesn't have to be your own. It can be someone else's mom, but if you're a mom, I just want to make sure everyone who is here has someone praying for them.